Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. I am so glad you joined me here today as we get deeper into Genesis. Today, we're going to study Genesis 7:13, and we're going to look at this picture of an ark. But before that, I'll recap just a little bit of what we've been talking about here the last few days. We've been looking at the what of the flood, like what happened, you know, like scientifically speaking, what happened. There was an earthquake at the ocean floor. There were these fountains of the great deep, these depths of the deep that the Bible tells us about that were broken up and massive floods hit the earth. And at the same time, the windows of heaven opened up and the rain came down. We talked about that a couple days ago and just how that would effectively flood the earth. And we see yesterday we spoke of this number 40 and the application of it for us is trials and testing. And how the number 40 throughout the Bible, we see these true life Bible characters going through, whether it's 40 days, whether it's 40 years, they're going through hardships. Maybe it's 400 years. They're going through trials. They're going through testing. We see Jesus himself being tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights in Matthew 4. We see him walking the earth 40 days and 40 nights, Acts 1:3. You say, well, how is that him walking the earth after his resurrection? How's that testing? Well, it's testing everyone that were to see him or hear of him if they truly would believe now because their time was running out. And the application, just to kind of touch on it one more time before we get to our text verse, is that are we believing? Like, are we ashamed of our faith? Do we, you know, I was trying to think like, you know, imagine my kids, right? Had like a friend over when I was recording this, would they be ashamed? You know, would there be this awkward silence like, oh, my dad's just preaching up there. He's a radio preacher. Or would they be excited because they know the Lord is real and that the word is important? And I hope it's the latter, but I don't, you know, again, it's the individual heart that tells that story. And the world is so anti-God and the ways of the world are so antithetical to God, which, by the way, is how we get to this whole point of times of trials and testing to begin with, because man has gone afar off from God, that we have to keep checking ourselves. Amen. You know, the prayer is, Lord, search my heart. And if there's anything that's not right in my heart, reveal it to me. Lord, I want to repent for that. I don't want to live out in this world. I don't want to be ashamed of you. Amen. I'm a preacher, and that means that by virtue of being a preacher, I wear Christian t-shirts. That's what preachers do, okay? If you're in the ministry, you're probably wearing a Christian t-shirt. I saw a man today at my daughter's soccer game wearing a Christian t-shirt. I looked at him, and I said, yeah, he's probably a preacher. You know, not you know, there's others that wear Christian t-shirts, but us preachers, we like a good Christian t-shirt. But, you know, part of that is beyond just the shirt. The ones that I typically wear, and we print them here, they have scripture on it. You know, they're scripture shirts. And you know what? I'll wear that anywhere, anytime. And part of that is for me to help to understand, almost a reminder to me, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of what God's done in my life. Like, you want to look at me? Look at God. You want to understand what's going on with me? Then understand this book right here. You know, you want to write me off as some kind of nut? Then go ahead and do it. Amen. But either way, I'm not ashamed. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm actually being kind of vulnerable here by telling you that to me, it's a reminder. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead, put that scripture on your bumper sticker. You know, put that bumper sticker on your car. Or, you know, go ahead and get that Christian shirt. Or go ahead and witness to that friend. Or, you know, put up that Christian artwork at the job site. You know, again, it's these things that we deal with in this world that's so wicked. And if we go back to the lesson here, that whether it's 40 days, 40 years, or some other amount of time, this life is a time of trying, and that is why those that overcome this life, amen, are blessed, and that is why to overcome this life, we need Jesus. All right, so segueing right into our scripture today, we're going to read that just as soon as we get back from this break to look at why the ark then is Jesus today, so stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so here we have Genesis 7, verse 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. Okay, so they enter the ark in Genesis 7:13, and I love the details. Like, nobody is left out. We know exactly who's going into that ark. It's all on purpose. God is in the details. Amen. And we see that entering in the ark, this is what to Noah's family. Salvation. Is it not a picture of salvation? I know you've probably already heard this, but it's okay to touch on it again. Entering in the ark is a picture of salvation. So God, while he was literally, physically saving this family and this extended family in true life history, okay, it really happened. This is also for us a picture of salvation. Entering in with salvation for Noah and his family. And here we see the parallel in John 10:9 in the New Testament. I am the door, this is Jesus speaking. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And that reference would have really rung true in that agrarian society. So in Genesis 7:1, they were told to get into the ark through the only door, amen. In John 10:9, we are told to enter into Jesus and be saved because he is the only way to be saved. It only comes through Jesus. Just four chapters later in the book of John, and you know, often you've probably heard this, where do I start in the Bible? And people will often say, start in the book of John. Well, maybe this is one of the reasons why it's often recommended. It's a place to start because it gives us a very, very big spiritual truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see here that Jesus Christ is the door, and we must enter through him and through that door to be saved. And the Bible, Jesus himself, refers to people entering in any other way, right? Trying to, as unworthy, as crooks, as thieves, as those that will end up in hell, okay? And so the only way to be saved is through the door, who's Jesus. And the only way that Noah was saved and his family was to get on that ark. The question is, if Noah said to his family, let's hang out here, God said we should do this, but we'll just see what he's going to do. We'll wait a little bit. Would they have been saved? No. The way the flood is described is not like a gentle little rolling up of the waters, okay? It's not like a faucet trickling down. It is like a crazy, I'm trying to think of the word. I mean, the word's often used deluge, but it's like a, it's one of those things that by the time you see that water, it's too late, right? So it's one of those instances, and I keep thinking of like a massive, we live near all kinds of hydropower. We live near Moss Lake here in Kings Mountain. You got hydropower there. You got a dam there. We drive often up to the Huntersville region, and over there up near Lake Norman, you will see a huge dam. Now imagine if that dam just broke, okay? By the time you saw that dam break, is the time you see that water coming down, it's too late. Like, what are you going to do? Go get a life vest? You're going to go try to find a boat to hop on? It's too late, right? And that is the idea that we must be saved by Jesus Christ, accept him as our Lord and Savior, because by the time that we realize we need him, as in the judgment comes, it's too late. Amen. There's a closing of the door in Genesis 7:16, and we'll get into this verse deeper as we get further in Genesis 7. But for context's sake, Genesis 7:16, this ark door gets shut here. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. See, the Lord did the closing of the door. Those shut on the inside, can they now die? No. They are safe and secure. How? By God shutting that door, and more, zooming out a little bit, by God's plan for Noah and his family to save humanity, right? Those saved through Jesus' finished work on the cross are saved forever by God's plan. That is eternal security. Now, I know a lot of people think they can lose their salvation, and I don't agree with that. And I will say this as a caveat for those that say, well, what about someone that quote unquote gets saved, does something really bad, is always living sinful? My question is, were they ever saved? So I believe God's standard is a little bit higher than maybe some other people may believe. But I believe once you truly accept Jesus Christ into your Lord, into your life as Lord and Savior, when you truly believe, good, bad, or ugly, this, that, or the other, you're saved for eternity, right? Noah wasn't perfect. He becomes an alcoholic when he gets off the ship. His children certainly were not perfect. Amen. His wife was not perfect. His sons' wives were not perfect. We are all related to Adam. We all fall short. We're all sinful. But they were saved because they believed. They had belief and they went in that ark. And God closed the door and said, you believed me? That 7-day waiting period, you didn't come off this boat? You're shut in for good. You are saved from the flood. Amen. You can imagine one of them sitting on the ark as the flood comes and thinking back to maybe the doubts that they might have had and just thanking God that they believed and thanking God that Noah was a preacher, a righteous preacher of the word, and thanking God that they were saved. And that is, I think, our disposition as the Lord takes us home through death or through the rapture. Amen. As the Lord takes us home, that we meet God and we thank him. That he allowed us to believe, that he gave us a measure of faith, that he wouldn't leave us alone. In my case, that he brought me so low that he broke me, that I was completely broken, not even wanting to live. And I called out to God in my 20s. I said, Lord, everything I have is yours. Please, please help me, because I was broken. And in the poetry of God, he said, you know, you may think you're having your worst day ever, but you're having your best day. And that's just the mystery of God. I'm sure he might have been laughing a little bit. I'll tell you, I wasn't laughing. You want to talk about a bad situation? I was in it. I was in it bad. And I had got there by making my own decisions. And when I simply believed, the Lord changed my whole life. When you simply believe, he will change your whole life. Now, what about those that didn't believe? I want you to think about those. We believe at this time, there was billions with a B of people on the earth. The Bible would refer to it as the grains on the seashore, the grains of the sand. You know, I love the beach if you listen to the show. And those grains of the sand, those millions, if not billions of people, multiple billions of people, you know, what happened to them? They didn't go on the ark. They died. And this is a judgment. So I'll say this. They died and went to hell. This was a judgment. They were given the opportunity. If anyone on that entire earth were righteous, God would have saved them. I believe it. What about those not saved through the blood of Jesus? What about that person that was always so good? What about the one that gave all that money to charity? What about the one that's been so successful? What about the one that's worked with the elderly their whole life? Or what about that one that's had such a tough time in life? What about those people that have rejected Jesus? Is there not another way for them? There is not. They will go to hell. And I know that that's a challenging thing to think of, but the Bible speaks very clearly of that. I'm going to give you a verse here, a passage, Revelation 20, 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, this is John the Revelator writing here, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I bring you back to John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door. He's the only door. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How could you not believe in Jesus and still be in the book of life? You cannot. To be in the book of life, to have your name written in the book of life, you must believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, even if you have been a horrible person, right, you are saved. And if you've been a great person, you are saved. If you believe in Jesus Christ, it's not about who we are or what we've done. It is simply about belief. How was Noah saved? He was saved by faith. By faith. God didn't push him in the ark. What God did was wait for them to go in, and then he closed the door. God doesn't push us through the door of Jesus. He waits for us to go in, and then he seals us in for eternity. God is so good. He's given us this clear picture of salvation in Genesis 7. Thank God for God's, again, the perfect number 7 there. Thank God for how good he is for saving us, for those that would believe on Jesus Christ. If you haven't, believe on him today before it's eternally too late. Tune in next time. Thank you so much. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.